All Around Us by Reverend Nathan Langrack. The Christian Reformed Church replaces the Reformed formula of subscription, Part 2. In a previous article, I began an examination of the decision by the 2012 Synod of the Christian Reformed Church to replace Dort's formula of subscription with a new covenant for office bearers. I noted the history of this movement in the CRC since the 1960s, and especially the origins of the current movement to replace the formula of subscription, starting with an overture in 2003. I began an examination of the problems with this new covenant for office bearers, noting that it invites, encourages, and sanctions criticism of the creeds. In addition to that grave problem, the covenant for office bearers also rejects the Reformed understanding of the authority and place of the creeds. First, the document begins with a weakly worded sentence about Scripture. Quote, "We believe the inspired Word of God as received in the Old and New Testaments of Holy Scripture, which proclaims the good news of God's creation and redemption in Jesus Christ. Acknowledging the authority of God's Word, we submit it to it in all matters of life and faith." Unquote. In light of the long-standing criticism of the first 11 chapters in Genesis in the CRC, one is left wondering what this sentence means. Second, aside from its weak wording, why is a statement on Scripture included in a document intended to be a sort of subscribing to the creeds? By including this statement, the CRC has redefined what subscription is. Subscription, according to the Reformed understanding, is not and never was intended to be a statement about Scripture. It is a statement about the Reformed creeds. Fundamentally, it is the statement that office bearers heartily believe and are persuaded that all the articles and points of doctrine contained in the three forms of unity do fully agree with the Word of God. With this wording, the formula of subscription presupposes the Word of God and the office bearer's submission to the Word of God. In the matter of subscription, an office bearer's declaration of his willingness to submit to the authority of God's Word in all matters of faith and life is not the issue. If he will not submit, he is not even Christian. Further, for one to state that he submits to Scripture is redundant and unnecessary in light of the creed's own statements on Scripture and candid use of Scripture for the establishment of all their doctrine. If the office-bearer commits himself to the doctrine of the creeds, he has committed himself to submit to Scripture. As the heart of this controversy over subscription, a point recognized by many who overturned the synod about the covenant for office-bearer, is Dort's phrase, "do fully agree with the Word of God." The issue is not merely having or not having that phrase in the document. Rather, the issue is the place and force of that phrase in the covenant for office bearers. In the formula of subscription, that phrase is the reason office bearers will diligently teach and faithfully defend the aforesaid doctrine of the three forms of unity without either directly or indirectly contradicting the same. Do the creeds in their articles, doctrines, and doctrinal formulations fully agree with the Word of God, so that to disagree with the creeds is to disagree with the Word of God, so that a theological controversy in a Reformed church can be settled on the basis of an appeal to the creeds alone, and so that for disagreement with the creeds an office bearer must be deposed? This is the issue. "Do fully agree with the Word of God" is the monumental declaration that opens Dort's formula and is the basis of the idea of confessional subscription, of all that follows this statement in the formula of subscription, and of the necessity of a Reformed office bearer signing the formula if he is Reformed. What is the reason that an office bearer must subscribe to the creeds, must teach and defend the creeds, must refute and contradict all errors that militate against the creeds, and must exert himself to keep the church free from errors? The creeds do fully agree with the Word of God. Why may not the Reformed office bearer criticize the creeds except by way of gravamen? In their articles and points of doctrine, they do fully agree with the Word of God. What is the basis of the creed's authority? Why may and must the creeds bind? Why is teaching, preaching, knowing, and confessing the creeds vital to the life of every Reformed church and to the office of every Reformed office bearer? Why is rejection of the creeds, ignorance of the creeds, or contradiction of the creeds fatal to an office bearer, church, and denomination? In their articles and points of doctrines, they do fully agree with the Word of God. In the formula of subscription, the creeds claim nothing for themselves, but only claim what Scripture teaches. Their authority can only be derivative. With derivative authority, they must bind, and they may not be criticized except in the way of gravamen. Since the creeds teach the Word of God and fully agree with it, the only attitude of the Reformed man, the Reformed church, and the Reformed denomination toward them can be one of being subject to them, while at the same time recognizing the possibility, though unlikelihood, that they may be changed. The real implicit accusation of the man who refuses to subscribe to the creeds in this sense, the sense of Dort, is to accuse the creeds of unfaithfulness to and disagreement with the Word of God. A Reformed man either subscribes to the creeds or criticizes them through the proper method of gravamen. Rejecting this whole understanding of Dort and the Reformed churches, the CRC now says, "We also affirm three confessions, the Belgic Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, and the Canons of Dort, as historic expressions of the Christian faith, whose doctrines fully agree with the Word of God. These confessions continue to define the way we understand Scripture, direct the way we live in response to the gospel, and locate us within the larger body of Christ." Subscription in the covenant for office bearers is reduced to affirming confessions as historic expressions of the Christian faith. They are not even described as historic expressions of the Reformed faith, although in response to a number of protests from within the denomination, the phrase, "whose doctrines fully agree with the Word of God," was inserted by the Committee of Pre-Advice at Synod. The connection of that phrase to what follows in the formula of subscription is lost, and with it the whole binding character of the creeds. Dort's concern with this phrase was that by it, Dort bound the office bearer not merely in a general way to conform his teaching to the creeds, but rather actually to teach and faithfully defend the doctrine of the creeds and not to contradict it. That phrase, in its connection with the rest of the formula, governs the office bearer's whole attitude and behavior toward the creeds. The issue is not whether this important phrase is included in some way in the covenant for office bearers, but how it functions in the covenant for office bearers. Furthermore, in the next paragraph, the covenant for office bearers takes a turn for the worse. "Grateful for these expressions of faith, we promise to be formed and governed by them. We heartily believe and will promote and defend their doctrines faithfully, conforming our preaching, teaching, writing, serving, and living to them." Gratefulness now is the motivating reason to teach and preach the creeds. Not because they teach what Scripture teaches, not because the articles and doctrines of the creeds do fully agree with the Word of God, but gratefulness for historic expressions of faith, which is simply a promise to be governed by these historic expressions in separation from Scripture. Now an office bearer does not have to believe, teach, and defend the creeds because they agree with Scripture, and because Scripture alone is the infallible rule of faith and life. But Scripture and gratefulness for historic expressions of the faith have claims on the submission of the Church. Why should an office bearer teach the content of a document merely because he is grateful for it? I am grateful for Homer's Iliad, but that does not mean I am going to conform my preaching and writing in the church to it. There are other serious issues with the covenant for office bearers. The covenant for office bearers follows the weak and unnecessary paragraph on Scripture with a bad paragraph on the ecumenical creeds. Quote, "We affirm three creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, as ecumenical expressions of the Christian faith. In doing so, we confess our faith in unity with followers of Jesus Christ throughout all ages and among all nations." Unquote. First, this article is redundant in light of the Belgic Confession statement that the Reformed faith receives these three creeds. Second, the issue is Reformed subscription. Just about anyone who says he is a Christian will affirm the three ecumenical creeds. The Reformed reception of these three ecumenical creeds, however, is not a confession of faith as in unity with all who happen to have these three creeds as their confession. The Roman Catholic Church has these three creeds, but the Reformed confession of these creeds is fundamentally opposed to Rome's. It is not a confession with Rome, but is a confession against Rome. This comes out most clearly in the Heidelberg Catechism's explanation of the Apostles' Creed, which at virtually every point is opposed to Rome. There is also the candid move by the committee to place on a par with the three forms of unity the trite poem, "Our World Belongs to God," a contemporary testimony. By including it in the Confession for Office Bearer, with the three forms of unity and requiring the office bearer to sign it along with the three forms of unity, the CRC has placed it on a par with the three forms of unity. In glowing language, the committee expressed their hope that it will revitalize confessional identity and engagement in the Christian Reformed Church. The Covenant for Office Bearers, the little poem receives the honorable designation of Reformed Expression of the Christian Faith. But if the three forms of unity will not revitalize confessional identity, neither will "Our World Belongs to God." Either that or the confessional identity that it will revitalize will be as trite as the testimony itself. As a poem, it is open to severe criticism for aesthetics. As an official creed, which is what the committee wanted and essentially received because the office bearer must now subscribe to it, it is practically worthless. It is not an expression of the Reformed faith, but a product of theological shallowness that manifests a loss of doctrinal vitality. It evinces an understanding that is enamored of pretty expressions and bored with or offended by sound doctrine. As such, it is also a thin string on which to hang hopes to revitalize any meaningful confessional identity. The Covenant for Office Bearers also removes Dort's severe but just penalty for an office bearer's contradicting the creeds publicly or privately before making such sentiments known to consistory, classis, and synod in the way of a gravamen, or for refusing to submit to their judgment, de facto suspension from office. This was the important provision of Dort that reinforced its view of the seriousness of confessional subscription and keeping one's vow. Removing Dort's penalty from the Confessions for Covenant for Office Bearers is other evidence that war has been declared on the creeds. It is not, then, the act of revising the formula of subscription as such that is so appalling for its audacity. For the Christian Reformed Church did not revise the formula of subscription. It replaced it, and replaced subscription as well. It is not even the bold act of replacing the formula of subscription that is astounding. It is possible that the formula of subscription could be replaced with something better. Rather, it is the bold, unashamed, and audacious replacement of the formula of subscription along with the open admission of long-standing violations of its provisions, the public failures to discipline the false teachers, and the replacement of the formula of subscription by a covenant for office bearers that is intended to allow wide latitude from the creeds, sanctions open disagreement and assault upon the creeds by clergy and professors in the Christian Reformed Church, and to do that with the stated purpose to revitalize confessional identity in the Church. This new covenant for office bearers is a collective refusal by the Christian Reformed Church to subscribe to the creeds. Having collectively refused to sign the creeds, the Christian Reformed Church gives public notice that it refuses to be reformed. To be reformed is not merely to have a certain history or to have a certain document as an historic expression of faith. To be reformed is to stand in such a relationship to the three forms of unity as is expressed in the formula of subscription, a relationship that, as of June 12, 2012, no longer exists between the Christian Reformed Church and the Reformed Creeds. This decision ought to serve notice to many in the Christian Reformed Church who still may confess and live the Reformed doctrine and faith. Your denomination has now officially parted ways with the Reformed creeds and faith. The creeds are now officially what they have for so long been practically, historic expressions of the Christian faith, nothing more, merely expressions to be openly criticized. Let every office-bearer and reformed man or woman whose heart still pulses with love for the creeds, because in their articles and points of doctrine they fully agree with Scripture, demand subscription with Dort's form and set themselves for the promotion and defense of the reformed faith once delivered to the saints.